This week's episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Wendy Muller, Keith Tate, Jonathan Wilson, Andrew Hopkins, Mike Spittler, and Sean Hall.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
Let me have a Diablo sandwich of Dr. Pepper. Make it fast. I'm in a goddamn hurry. You want something?
Hush, puppy, Daddy.
We got no time for that crap. You son of a bitch.
Diablo and Doc.
Stacking my slick.
You must be in a hell of a hurry, huh, Sheriff? Bet your ass on that boy.
Oh, you got a little mess here. Let me help you out here. Get that off of there. That's a way for an officer.
Multiply.
Who are you chasing? Somebody chasing you?
Nobody chasing me, boy. I've been chasing a goddamn maniac all the way from Texarkana, Texas.
Really? Was he a bank robber?
Bank robbing his baby kid alongside of what this dude is doing. Almost killed 20 law officers. Driving through people's backyard, knocking down mailboxes. Got a broad in the car, took across the state line, got the man out. I don't think he's got a permission, and that's getting him. How's that for hygiene? What
Oh, let me pay for it.
No,
you're an officer of the law. I'd be honored.
Yeah, much obliged. Where's the can? I gotta get the squirt.
I'll right back there. Just one.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effing Ira Malkin.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. This week we're going to talk Burt Reynolds. May he rest in peace. We have clips, some radio sent in their memories. And we'll have an interview with Alan Sanders from the Wilder Ride podcast, who actually did a stage production with Burt a little while ago. Real quick, you still have time to sign up to be a Radio Labyrinth patron and be entered to win a pair of tickets and VIP meet and greet passes to see St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Don't know who they are? Well, you should. Google them, especially if you're a fan of great music. They're playing the Fabulous Fox Theater on Friday, September 28th. We'll pick the winner next week, so sign up. Today, go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Also, tickets are still available to see Radio Labyrinth live with me, Steph, and maybe even actor Josh Warren. More on that later in the show. But hey, welcome to episode 142. Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff.
Howdy.
Jeff's having some problems over there.
Yeah, my computer's messed up. My new computer.
Brand new computer.
Doing the same thing the other one did with the video card or something.
Fucking Apple.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they get for not giving you dongles anymore.
You're a dongle.
They're not giving you the dongle anymore. You got to fucking buy it. The trillion-dollar company, the piece of shit Tim Cook, we updated our phones, and now you got the X Plus, blah, blah, blah.
Now you get no dongle.
I'm thinking about switching to...
Android?
Android, yeah. But I hate Google, so what are you going to do?
I don't know. You know, I had...
Who do you hate more, Google or Apple?
It's pretty neck and neck.
Yeah.
But I will say, as far as ease of use and connectivity and whatnot... I had Android for quite a while. Now that I've had this iPhone, I don't think I would go back.
Android's like the Wild West.
Yeah, and this is just, it's so easy.
It is.
It's just, you know, for idiots. I mean, you can do anything. I mean, the iPhone is
universal. Oh, they're so
smart.
They give you those shitty fucking wireless headphones that most people probably lose, and then you got to go buy more.
I don't have those.
They don't give you those unless you buy the
bootleg ones.
No, they don't even give you those if you buy the iPhone X.
Yeah, they don't?
Nope, you gotta buy them.
What do they give you, the wired ones?
Yep.
Well, I can handle that.
My old man bought me the ones that insert in your ears, and they came in a case that charges up, so the case is charged, and you just put them in there, and it charges them up, and they're pretty sweet.
Yep.
Caitlin bought my wife bought a new Mac, and with it, she got a free pair of Bluetooth Beats headphones. Those are pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah. Nice.
Those cancel out some noise.
Yeah, and I went to look at the price at some different stores, and... They're out of my price range.
Are they like $300, $400?
Well, they're expensive, yeah.
Something like that.
They're very, very, very expensive. So Jeff brought a cake. Here's some little inside news. We were supposed to record Wednesday night. Tim and Autumn had to do a live show for, that's me and Autumn, had to do a live show for the Von Hessler Doctrine. We had a bunch of people who had donated to a charity function that we had done, and they got to come in and watch us, and then we had lunch with them. And then my wife wasn't feeling well. So we postponed the show, which meant we were going to have Ira this week, and we would have had Autumn in studio. But so, sorry about that, folks.
We would have had Autumn in studio?
Yeah, she was in town.
And then we had a cookie cake for everybody, and now nobody's here except you jerks.
Yeah, but there's a cookie cake. So we're going to take that cookie cake and throw it on the floor. We're going to get naked and roll around on it.
I'm going to put your computer in it.
I'm going to shit on it. You want to do that?
Let's do it.
No, I love cookie cakes.
Make a video of
it. Cookie cakes are good.
No, cookie cakes are
You know
great.
What my favorite kind of chocolate chip concoction is, though? The Blondie.
Oh, the Blondie. If it's done correctly.
If it's done correctly.
Because it can be dry.
From the Claremont Lounge?
No, I don't want none of that shit. Blondie, the stripper with the big tits that smacks you in the face.
No, I don't want that. But yeah, the reason we have the cookie cake is because, what, it's some Jewish holiday this week? Or
it was...
Ha-ha-hana.
Jewish New Year's.
Which is what? What's it called?
Benihana.
Rosh Hashanah,
Rosh Hashanah.
Right? All right. When's Yom Kippur?
Next week.
Okay. So they got the, you know, they run the gamut every September.
Yeah, you get the honey and the apples.
Yeah.
And then you don't get nothing.
And
so Ira was supposed to be here. So the cake says L'chaim.
Yes.
In honor of Ira. But it's me and Ira's birthday on Monday.
You're half Jewish, so half of the cake is yours. Jeff's birthday is September 17th. Ira's 17th.
Was the 4th.
Yeah, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
You and Autumn have some other stupid
birthday. Hers is in June and mine's in November.
Yeah, jerks.
Yeah, we're not cool Virgos like y'all.
I don't really get into it.
Are you a Virgo?
Yeah, we're all
Virgos.
Yeah, I'm pretty signature when
you don't
it comes
care
to
about
that.
Your birthday anymore, do you?
I haven't cared about it since I was probably 21, 22.
I don't
22.
Believe that. You didn't care after 22?
Nah.
No.
Definitely not after 35.
No, I don't give a shit about mine.
Done with it.
Maybe 50 I'll care, but I don't, you know, fuck it. Who cares?
No, I have anxiety attacks. But I couldn't sleep the night before I turned 45 because I didn't want to wake up 45.
Right.
Like, fuck this. Old as dirt.
Yeah, if you don't go to sleep, you stay 44 forever.
That's what I thought.
Friggin' old I feel. We've been, you know, collecting clips from Burt Reynolds over the years, and Steph or somebody posted a interview that he was on the Tonight Show with Don Rickles.
Yes.
And in the beginning part of it, Don Rickles and Johnny are talking about their age. They're both 47. And Johnny looks 60.
I know. He looked so old and he's like our age.
I know. And he's a legend. But that was about 20 some years before he retired, I think.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years.
And so. Bert's outfit.
Oh my God. That red velvet.
That's horrible.
Maroon, ugly, fucking horrible. You guys, we'll tell you where you can find all these when we get to it. But before we talk about Bert, so we got all the birthday shit out of the way. We all went and had a little adventure on Saturday at a local Atlanta restaurant. It's not a local chain. It's, there's two or three of these restaurants?
It started in Nashville.
Yeah, it started in Nashville. Here. It's called Hattie B's, and it's Nashville chicken. So somebody explain what Nashville chicken is.
It's a Nashville hot chicken.
Well, yeah, explain to the audience what it is. Don't get all derisive.
Everybody knows it because KFC has had the hot chicken for a while now.
Well, the main thing about the hot chicken is that it's extra, extra crispy.
Okay.
It's crispier than normal chicken.
Okay.
Because they double dredge and then they flash fry it and they fry it again. But it's generally the spice is what makes it hot chicken.
Yeah.
They use this habanero spice in the flowering of it and whatnot.
So it's kind of a new place. It's a trendy place, and it's in the Little Five Points neighborhood of Atlanta. And we all went down there, and you know, you go and you wait in line and you order your food and you sit down. They give you the number. They bring your food out. I've driven past this restaurant at various times over the last couple of months, and there's always a huge line. We got there early enough to where we avoided it.
It was still a little bit of a line.
Yeah, but that wasn't like I was expecting. I've seen lines wrapped around all the way to the sidewalk.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be forever.
And so they have, you can get chicken strips, whatever, fried chicken. I got the dark meat platter. It was more than enough food. And they have different tiers. So they have mild, medium, hot, and then there's two more.
Damn hot and shut the cluck up.
Shut the cluck up. And I went for medium, and it was still kind of, you know, it you know, got me in the mouth.
I had the hot, and that was perfectly as hot as it needed to be.
You couldn't eat it.
No, I ate it. The hot. It was the damn hot that we couldn't eat.
Yeah.
Oh, who had the damn hot?
The damn hot.
Steph had the damn hot.
That's right.
Me and Lisa. Because Lisa and I both are spice junkies.
Our friend Lisa.
Yeah, anytime we go anywhere, she and I both get like extra jalapenos or, you know, we always get hot sauce. I mean, we're both kind of the same way. So we assumed that the shut the cluck up would be too hot. But we figured the damn hot would be fine.
Uh-huh.
And as you guys saw us over there sweating,
it looked like it was coated in dried
crying.
Blood. It was so hot.
It's the blood that's on the inside of you.
It was so red. It was so red. It looked like a contusion that hadn't been drained. That's how dark this chicken was. And you guys ate it, and you were both sweating, and you couldn't finish your food. Did she eat her food?
Oh, I think she got through a half a piece.
And you swapped one.
I gave her one of my hot.
Yeah, you swapped.
I had tenders. I had three tenders.
You dropped it on the floor, and you ate it.
I still ate it because the damn hot one was too fucking hot to eat. I traded her one of my hot ones for one of her damn hot ones.
Uh-huh.
And then I ate just the little tip of the end of the chicken tender, and my mouth was on fire for like an hour.
Mm.
It was, I ate a whole tender and like a piece of another tender just because.
The super hot one, right?
The damn hot, yes.
Oh, God, how could you fucking do that?
It was hard. It was really hard. And then I just gave up because it was just so hot, it hurt me. It was so hot. And guys, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not like some wuss. I mean, I put hot sauce on everything. On the way home from there, I had to stop and buy some ice cream because there was a burning in my – it burned. Like,
really?
The inside of my stomach, but there was a campfire. I thought I was dying. And I had to, like, hurry up and get this ice cream in to put the fire out. It I've never had anything like that before.
God damn.
Yeah, it was intense.
Sides were good, weren't they? I just got French fries.
I had the pimento mac and cheese, which was hella delicious.
Yeah.
And the collard greens, which were totally legit.
Very good. What's the deal with the – why do they put pimentos in everything?
It's the pimento cheese.
Uh-huh.
But
what do pimentos add?
They've got like a little bit of a, you know,
jism?
They've got a little zazz to them.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. But, you know, the pimento cheese is you shred up the cheese and then you mix it with the pimentos and mayonnaise and all that kind of shit. So it's extra fatty good.
All right. I just don't. I'm not a fan of pimentos. I'm thinking of the things that are inside of the gross olives.
I mean, it's. I don't know. If you've never had pimento cheese,
yeah,
you've never
they're,
had
they're
it.
They're the red things that they stuff inside olives.
Yeah, they're gross.
No,
you
they're good.
Find out more about Hattie B's, HATTIEB.com. There are locations around the country. I guess they have one in Vegas now. So if you're in Las Vegas listening to this and you want some chicken, go get some.
If you got the sack to eat the shut the cluck up, please video that and
send it
to us.
Yeah, definitely. It has a burn notice on it. They have really, really good sides. You got Southern Greens, crinkle cut fries. That was the plus for me. I like the crinkle cut. And I also had the baked beans. Those were good. Red skin potato salad, pimento mac and cheese, creamy coleslaw, black eyed pea salad, and all sorts of shit like that.
I was so mad. I wished I would have gotten the hot so I could have enjoyed all of my tenders. It was like I felt like I should have clocked in. It was a job. It was a job to get through this.
Here's a funny thing. When we were talking about this, I wanted to find the Hattie B's website, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Google. I type in Hattie B's. And the first 25 fucking things are all ads and reviews of Hattie B's. Nowhere on there is the site. So I type in Bing. Boom. It's the first thing that pops up. So I am recommending, and I've been doing this. I even downloaded it on my phone. I'm not a Microsoft guy at all. But Bing is a million times better for Google if you're actually looking for something. So.
Oh, okay.
No, point of order there. So or
Bing.
No. Bing.
Way better for porn.
I wouldn't know that.
Oh, well, I'm just saying. That's what I heard.
I'm not into pornography.
I heard that from somebody.
I don't know.
Dirty bitch.
I looked up famous black porn actor this evening and Long Dong Silver came right up. And
you
that was
did
from
not.
Google. I certainly did.
Why?
Because I was trying to remember who it was.
Long Dong Silver?
Yeah. Is he the only one? He hasn't been making movies since
the
80s.
What about Styx from Happy
Days? I was trying to think of what about African American equivalent of John Holmes was in the same era.
Isn't there a guy named Blackzilla?
Well, yeah, I know there's Lex Steel. I think he's a current
There
big
is
guy.
Blackzilla. Shane Diesel. He's called Black
Shane
Diesel.
Shane Diesel.
What a great name.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I like Lex Steel, though. I mean, you really can't beat Lex Steel.
So we need to go do this at least once a month. Go find a place where we haven't eaten and then talk about it on the show.
Let's do a dessert place.
Well, let's do a meal. Who wants to eat dessert in the middle of the day on Saturday?
I go to restaurants and order dessert.
For dinner?
Yeah.
For the meal?
Fuck yeah.
Give me some cake, bitch.
We should go back to Hattie B's and then just
get
order
chicken and waffles.
Order sensibly.
Well, we can do that on our own. We're not going to talk about it again. We want to talk about places.
Send us.
You know where we need to go next, Fred's. Oh yeah, go ahead. Say.
Well, so, I was going to say, send us some suggestions, you guys. Places that you guys are wanting to
Atlanta,
try.
Pizza and Euro.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
But send us some suggestions of places that you guys want to try and that you'd like us to try.
Right.
I think that would be a good idea. But yes, I'm dying to go to Fred's. I still haven't been there.
Fred's. Oh,
I want to go there too.
I want that cheesesteak. I've heard it's like the best cheesesteak in America.
They got meat, bitch. They got really good meat there. It's so fucking good. So fucking good. You know, I figured that since we're going to have so many people this week that we would kind of keep it to a couple different topics, you know, bring it back. We're definitely going to talk about Bert. And like I said, we're going to have Alan Sanders on in a few minutes.
Did you say that?
I did.
Oh, okay.
And, God, you know, what am I thinking about? Shows and the stuff that's going on right now. Let's just talk about Norm real quick, because there's going to be a lot of Norm Macdonald clips in the Burt Reynolds thing. But
Turd Ferguson.
So, funny hat. Norm Macdonald, his new show is launching on Netflix this week.
Way to step on my staff pick.
Well, you can still do your staff pick. And he did some interviews, one with The Hollywood Reporter, where he was showing sympathy for his friends, Louis C.K. and Roseanne, and it just blew up, you know, the Twitter army of people who like to bitch about everything.
Wasn't it because he called them victims?
He said that nobody experiences what they experience, where you lose your career in one day. Everything that you've built up over the years is gone in one day. And that's what he was saying about those two.
Didn't he call them victims? Isn't that what burned everybody?
Yeah, but you know
ass?
What? This has to be the end of trying to destroy somebody because you don't like what they say. Listen, he was just sticking up for his friends and speaking his mind. He didn't do anything. He didn't rape anybody. He didn't finger somebody when he was 12.
No, but the thing is I think you put Louis and Roseanne in the same block. Roseanne is one thing. What she said is what she said. Mm-hmm. There's no victims there, okay?
There was like, no victim at all.
No. I mean, that's just her saying what she's saying. Louis, that's a little bit different story. And when I think that's what really burns people is that he's saying that Louis's the victim and he's like yanking it in people's faces.
But moreover,
and stuff,
I see what
so,
you're saying, but moreover,
it's a little different.
Norm is saying that, you know, people don't get second chances anymore. Louis apologized. You know, nobody got hurt, they just watched him jerk off.
True, but nobody wanted it.
No, but then you hear people saying that they were, you hear the people saying that those women were blacklisted from comedy, and I don't know that I've heard that to be a fact. Do either of you know that?
I don't know that to be true. But the point is
'cause the point is that maybe they're not funny.
That could also be, but the thing is that you don't, I'm sorry, it's just completely different than Roseanne. I mean, I think Roseanne's out of her damn mind, but I don't think that she victimized anybody by saying what she said.
She's
Louis
just crazy.
Okay, here's the thing about Louis. Why don't we hear about him doing that to other prominent females? Why are these only women?
Maybe they didn't mind.
Maybe that's who he picked.
What?
People that he didn't respect or think they were going to do anything. We didn't hear anything about Pamela Adlon, asking her to watch him jerk off.
She sounds like she probably would let him.
Yeah.
I'm sure she
probably already did.
She cut ties with him completely.
Yeah.
Or just kicked him off the show.
Yeah, cut ties with him.
So she's not talking to him anymore.
The last thing I read.
Because Sarah Silverman hasn't.
Cut ties with him?
No, she's repeatedly said, I can't really get into this because I'm friends with him. So I can't come from a place where, she goes, what he did was creepy, but I can't attack him because
did he ask her to watch him?
I don't know.
Probably not.
She probably would.
But he probably didn't. That's the thing.
Well,
is
he
like
didn't ask any of them.
He did ask. That's my whole thing is that he asked them, do you mind if I blah, blah, blah?
And they sat there and watched.
And they were just like, oh, my God. And he did it. I mean, I could see you being like, what the
and
hell?
And how long did it take them to talk about it and report it?
They told people in their inner circles. This had been rumored for years. You know that.
Yeah, then why did it take so long?
Because he didn't assault them. He did not rape them.
That's what I'm
saying.
He
didn't touch them.
He jacked off in front of them. That's traumatic if you're 10.
Tim, come on. It's creepy and weird.
It is creepy and weird. But
okay.
If you don't say anything about it, and then you all gang up at once and destroy somebody's life.
It wasn't at once. It was a steady progression.
No,
they
all came out at one time. That's when we heard all about it. I mean, we'd heard the rumors, but it was like, it's just Louis C.K.
Well, it's just because of this Me Too thing.
Right.
Nobody cared.
Getting it back to Norm Macdonald, Me Too with Norm Macdonald, he's saying, I'm glad it slowed down because people are being destroyed.
Some people are, and some people deserve it.
Well, absolutely. Harvey Weinstein deserves it. Bill Cosby deserves it. Chris Hardwick didn't deserve what happened to him.
No. But you're
Aziz Ansari.
You're picking out one or two, and then there's a lot of these
but
people
I'm telling
that
you,
did need
they,
to go down.
I can pick out one or two because the people, the Me Too people say, no, you have to believe all women and everybody's guilty and they're all horrible and they're all blah, 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 blah. That's the way it works. That's the way it works.
That's how people are, I guess.
And
I
they're trying
know.
To destroy Norm Macdonald. They're, you know, oh, he's canceled or he's a shit and enjoy that Netflix is going to cancel your show. And I was reading all these things on Twitter. You know, people with blue check marks, these you know, women that write for blogs mostly that say they're comedians, that because they have a blue check mark and a lit degree from some shitty school that and they work for Verge or Vox or any of these stupid fucking blogs. They just go after comedians for no reason, or go after these people for no reason. Norm didn't do anything. Nothing.
I don't.
And then he apologized for it.
Well, I don't think anything bad about Norm.
No, I know. I'm just saying that it's insane.
If you're a fan of Norm, you don't care that he said that.
I mean, you compare him to a pussy like Patton Oswalt, who's apologizing for jokes he told 12 years ago. That is some pussy shit.
Well, he married freaking
I don't care
Natty
who
Gann.
I don't care who he married. Patton Oswalt is smart. He's brilliant. He's a good actor. He's one of the best comedians of this century. But he's still a pussy because he's apologizing. Weird Al apologizing for using the word midget 30 years ago. Don't apologize for shit. Why are you doing that? Do you have to go in front of these people?
Times change, man. You can't say.
But you don't retroactively go back and say things that these people liked.
They asked him if he regretted anything, and he said he regretted using the word midget.
Yeah, they're fucking pussies is what they are.
All right, now
especially
you're
Oswald.
Going down a dark road.
Why?
You're going down a dark road because you're going at Weird Al, and you're really going to upset a lot of people.
Yeah, don't go out Weird
Leave
Al.
Leave Weird Al out of this.
I love Weird Al.
He is gold.
But it's bullshit.
It's his business. If he wants to apologize, he's a nice guy.
But there's no reason. No one's asking for people to apologize.
Maybe he just feels like it's time.
Time for what?
I don't know, but if you're going to attack somebody, you leave Weird Al out of this.
All right, I'm sorry, Weird Al.
Leave Weird Al alone. He is
I love Weird Al.
The golden god.
Leave Weird Al alone.
You can go after other people. Patton, okay, fine. Because he does kind of with the wind. So
well, he needs to atone for his sins.
Because
this
ever
is
do?
The new religion.
I don't
by
understand
the way.
What he ever did. Patton's always been pretty progressive and super liberal and very
he
much
used
about
words that our generation has used, like retarded. He, you know, he did that bit. You know, there have to be gay retarded people, right? We're here. We're queer apples.
All
and he did it in the retarded person
all
voice.
All of these people saying this out loud still say it when they're not in public.
I know they do.
So shut up. I mean, they still do. I mean, that's what kills me is don't act like that. And the Down syndrome thing, come on.
Wait, what, Norm on Howard?
Get out of here. That's so
dead. He said you'd have to have Down syndrome to not think these people were victims. He's talking about the people that were
right
hurt.
Like you know? Hardwick.
No. He's talking about the women. He goes, you'd have to be have Down syndrome. He goes, that's my new word.
And he's doing it just to mess with everybody.
He did it because he didn't want to say the R word, which is not allowed on Howard anymore.
I think he did it just to push buttons because he's
Norm. Well, of course,
he's
Norm Macdonald. But at least the guy that runs Netflix is standing beside him. So,
well, as well, he should. Look, they know Norm's going to pull in. And Norm didn't do anything to anybody.
No.
He just said what he wanted to say.
Don't boycott Norm and don't pick on Weird Al Yankovic.
I retract my Weird Al.
You can pick on normal.
Don't you ever pick on Weird Al.
Normal Jerry. You can pick on him.
Normal Jerry.
Some guy named Normal Jerry.
He's Weird Al, Normal Jerry.
Okay, I get it. So yeah, anyway.
What at some point can we not say Weird Al? He's going to be like
Normal Jerry.
Al.
Normal Jerry. He's a gay midget, and he has Down syndrome.
Wow. Jeff, too
Leave
soon.
Him alone.
That's the try.
Jeff's canceled.
Jeff's been canceled.
All right. So anyway, there's my stupid rant about that. It just pisses me off. I'm sick of this fucking overreaction from these fucking millennials. And I hate to say it's millennials because it's also older people and younger people. But, you know, Gens, all of them, just shut the fuck up. Find something to complain about.
I'm more of a, you know what I think is, I saw somebody write this not too long ago, and I agree with this. The guy who puts his hand in the small of your back,
yeah,
and he doesn't know you, and it's because you're in a tight space, and that always really, ugh.
Yeah,
and
see, no, who likes
that's
that?
That's what I'm saying, but speaking from the woman, you guys don't really have to deal with that. And that is something that we've had to deal with our whole lives. It's just something that you're like, ah, okay, creepy, get off of me, or whatever.
I don't have a small of my back.
So I think that's where a lot of women are saying, you know what, we don't have to take this either. You know, just because we're in a crowded space,
not,
you're not allowed to do that.
Not everything is rape.
It's not rape, but it's also keep your fucking hands to yourself.
Yeah, well.
I mean, this has been going on forever, you know, like the thing with Ariana Grande and that preacher at Aretha Franklin's funeral.
Where he was touching her nip.
Yeah. I mean, but just the whole wrapping the hand around and all that kind of shit. And, you know, that's happened to me lots of times, especially growing up. You know, you always have some creepy old man
right. That's
always, oh, yeah. And you're just supposed to be like,
leave that creepy old man
he's
alone,
just an
Steph.
Old man. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, that guy was really, really creepy with her.
But this is the norm.
I like the other preacher there who was so red-pilled, he was talking about, like, being conservative. And like, he shouldn't have been there. Aretha never would have. And Aretha never would have allowed that. She requested him. Or her family did. Somebody requested that guy. But you know what I'm talking about, right? He's,
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, he's saying, you know.
That thing was 12 hours long. I didn't watch all of it.
Oh, I know. It was almost as long as John McCain's funeral, which is still going on. It was held over for 6 weeks. But you had to go to Arizona for that. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not trying to minimize anything or being a misogynist. You're a misogynist, but...
well, you are a misogynist, but no, that's one of your good qualities.
I'm not a misogynist. I just don't like stupid people who complain about it.
Are you a misogynist person?
Are you complaining about everything?
You're a great big misogynist.
All right, let's lighten it up a little bit. Well, I haven't done it yet. I'll have to do that in a few seconds. So, yeah, I have done it. What am I talking about? Oh, my God. Help.
What have you done?
I have all
you
these...
done it?
I have all these great clips.
Tim,
of,
have you ever done it?
Yeah, I have. I did it. I did the clown, whatever the clown's name was.
Pennywise.
So we're talking about Norm, and we're also talking about Burt Reynolds. Here's some clips from Saturday Night Live. See if you guys remember these.
Star Wars, the 20th anniversary home video.
Burt Reynolds, Darth Vader screen test. All right.
Fire away.
Bert, we need the helmet.
Yeah.
Lord Vader, your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fortress. Bert, you're supposed to strangle the guy now.
Oh, what, like go over there, choke him?
No, you kind of have, you kind of twist your fingers at him.
Ah. I don't get it.
See, you have this mystical power.
Let me ask you a question. What kind of car does this guy drive?
You remember they did that whole thing in, Kevin Spacey was also
in
a part of that.
Test.
Him too.
He did Walter Matthau and, and he did both of them, right? He did Walter Matthau, what the hell is a Wookiee or something like that. God, who else? Who did Richard Dreyfuss? What's his name? He's gone now, but he's the announcer now.
Oh, Daryl Hammond?
Yeah, Daryl Hammond. Yeah. He did C-3PO.
Yeah. Yes.
And then, of course, Anna Gasteyer did Leia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I love the way he did Bert. You know, you could tell that he really likes Bert.
Oh, and I love how he said that he kept him. Nobody ever even questioned the fact, like when he was on Jeopardy, that he had Bert from the late 70s, early 80s Bert. And and everybody else was current.
Right.
But nobody ever questioned it. Right. They were just like, that's Bert. That's the one
we
know.
That whole Celebrity Jeopardy sketch was just created so he could do Bert.
You know, they stole that from SCTV. Hang on a second. Here, you guys remember this one? Remember when he did Tarantino?
Who?
Norm? Norm did Tarantino talking about casting. It was when Samuel L. Jackson was a host. All these, by the way, are available on Hulu.
Oh, my God. All the SNL clips. I do not remember Hulu. Doing Tarantino.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris, France?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese? Oh,
yeah. No, they call it a royale with cheese.
So how about a Big Mac?
Well, Big Mac, that's a Big Mac. Of course, they call it Le Big Mac because, you know, they're French.
Le Big Mac. They call it Whopper.
Quentin, this whole picture about burgers or...
And we'll have more clips in just a second. Hey, comedy fans, the Red Clay Comedy Festival is bringing the comedy event of the year back to Atlanta. From September 28th through the 30th, Red Clay proudly welcomes headliners Janine Garofalo and Ron Funches. Alongside them, they have a stacked lineup of amazing headliners and special events, including the American-born Desi Comics Tour, live album taping for the hilarious Joe DeRosa, solo music performance from Mike Cooley of Drive-By Truckers, live podcasts with several amazing shows, including Atlanta broadcast legend Tim Andrews and his podcast Radio Labyrinth. You know, that's not really just mine. It's also Steph's, Jeff's, Autumn's, and sometimes fucking Ira. A live taping of Adult Swim's William Street Swap Shop, plus surprise guest comics they can't announce yet. Past guests have included Eric Andre, Bobcat Goldthwait, Dave Koechner, and more. The Red Clay Comedy Festival takes over East Atlanta Village. Tickets and festival passes are on sale now. VIP passes grant access to all comedy shows, all podcasts, all parties and events, plus a limited edition festival shirt and a ton more. Individual headline tickets are also available. And new in 2018, you can buy a single showcase pass to get you into all showcase shows all weekend long. It's the fourth annual Red Clay Comedy Festival taking place September 28th through 30th, presented by Pabst Blue Ribbon and powered by SiriusXM. For more information and to buy tickets, go to redclaycomedy.com. And to find out how to get into the Tim Andrews podcast, if you don't want to go to the rest of the festival and just see me and whoever else we have there, including Steph, check the details of this podcast. You hear? Hey, everybody, welcome back after that break. You know, I posted on the Facebook page, on the Radio Labyrinth Facebook page, for radios to go ahead and post if they had any stories or anything to share about Burt Reynolds, because especially down here in Georgia, you're more than likely that people would have had encounters with him. And, of course, Alan Sanders, who had posted on his page. Now, Alan Sanders is a radio host here at WSB Radio. And also, what's the station up where you are, Alan?
Up in northwest Georgia, it's WBHF.
WBHF. And he's also the co-host of a podcast that Jeff and I appeared on that's really cool and really interesting called the Wilder Ride Podcast, and it's all about Gene Wilder films, a minute-by-minute breakdown, right?
Correct, yeah. It's taking one movie and breaking it down 1 minute at a time. So each episode anywhere from 20 to sometimes as long as 45 minutes, depending if there's a lot to talk about.
And Jeff and I were on the episodes for Young Frankenstein, and what's the next one you have coming out?
We're going to be doing, we decided to go ahead and dive all in. We're going to do Blazing Saddles for our season two.
Awesome. When's that drop?
We're going to probably start doing a lot of recording of guest interviews and some specialists. I have a lot of friends who are in the cowboy reenactment world. So I've got a guy who's used to be a trick gun artist. I've got a guy who's a black cowboy historian who knows a lot about how the West was pretty integrated, a lot more integrated than early Hollywood made it sound. So I want to try to get a lot of interviews, and then we'll probably start dropping the actual minute-by-minute episodes in early 2019.
Cool. You should probably have me on, because I like to play chess. Screw.
Well, I'm not bringing you on to do anything else.
Let's play chess.
And you're Teutonic.
Oh, no, we will definitely be putting out a call for guests, and you guys get at the top of the list because you were there at the very beginning supporting us before we even made season one a reality. And once you get the first one underneath your belt, you kind of get lessons learned. You figure out what worked, what didn't, and how to maybe do it a little bit better next time around. And so we're really looking forward to diving into what is, to me, my favorite Gene Wilder film. Not his favorite role, but in terms of just from start to begin, start to end, love Blazing Saddles, always have.
And then for your when you're done with Gene Wilder, you'll have to do Burt Reynolds films.
There's a handful of them.
Starting with Deliverance, get the guy that played the banjo.
With the about the guy who did the raping?
He's dead.
Is he?
Probably.
Well, I love how whenever they cast him, you know, because Burt knew him. Mm-hmm. He was from his Wild West show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who brought him on or whatever. And the director said, are you going to have a problem pretending to rape somebody? He says, hell, I've done way worse than that.
Dear Lord.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll get to that shortly. So, Alan, you did, now, was it a play or did you do a movie with him?
No, it was a movie. It was an actual film. It was one of those direct-to-video releases called Hamlet and Hutch. It was filmed in and around Cartersville, Bartow County in northwest Georgia. And it was a bunch of local actors that were hired in and around the Atlanta and the Southeast, but I guess the production company, to try to give it a little moxie, decided to spend a little money to see about getting Burt Reynolds who's been always, since Deliverance, been big about trying to use Georgia and convince people that Georgia's a great state to film. All the different geographies kind of within Georgia, whether you got coastline or mountains or marshland, you've got all of this different kind of backdrops. And as you can tell, lately, it's finally happening. You know, Georgia is the third most filmed state, or in terms of the number of productions, the number of Hollywood productions, whether it's TV or cable or full, you know, theatrical releases. We're ranked third behind New York and California. So
wow.
We're definitely we've become the Hollywood Mecca, because it's a lot more film friendly here in Georgia, and I love it.
So how did you interact with him? Were you in a scene with him? Did you talk to him?
Yeah, absolutely. So apparently what happened is they had cast a guy, because the whole notion of the film Hamlet and Hutch is the storyline is the Burt Reynolds plays a aging movie star that has since left the hometown, and his daughter is running sort of this community or small town theater. And the theater is about to go under, and she tries to convince her dad, if you could just come back and maybe do a show, a play here, maybe we can make some money, we can stay open for another year. And so they decided to do a production of Hamlet. And so I got cast as actually Hamlet to be on stage with him, who played King Hamlet in the ghost form, who's come back to say, I've been murdered by my brother. And so we just shot just that one scene to indicate that after all of the hoopla of the rest of the storyline, he actually did come and perform on stage. And some of the hallmark kind of movie of the week moments from the script, he's suffering, we find out, from Alzheimer's, so he's starting to lose his mind. He's starting to lose his memory. So this is actually kind of his last hurrah, but nobody really knows that either. And it was just kind of fun to be able to be out there, because for me, I just kind of sat there and I said, okay, whatever the director tells me to do, that's all I'm doing. Because these two guys, it was two brothers that were directing the film, and they kept saying, it was Jared and Matthew Young, and they kept saying, look, hey, we appreciate you coming in and being Hamlet. Chances are you're not even going to make it on the screen. It's all about Bert. So we just want to make sure you understand that. I'm like, no, it's cool. It's all about Bert. He's the star. And every single time they started rolling the camera, Bert Reynolds would come up from behind me where they had him starting. He'd grab me by the shoulders, put one arm, and he'd drag me forward, you know, reading his lines. And the guys would say, well, we'll cut Bert, you don't need to take him up with you. It's all about you. And he goes, it doesn't make sense for me to talk to nobody. You got to bring him in. And I'm just like, hey, I'm just doing what he told me. I'm not going to say no to Bert Reynolds.
Right.
So it was really fun. He couldn't learn the lines. Like, he didn't understand. He couldn't deliver Shakespeare. So they had a big teleprompter for him. And when we did a couple of takes and they were resetting for a different angle, he sat down and we started talking, and he said, you know, this Shakespeare stuff never was my thing, never really was my cup of tea. I was always more of a Tennessee Williams fan. I was like, oh, yeah, no, Tennessee Williams is really good. He said, yeah, I never got a chance to do any Tennessee Williams. Did you? And I was like, yeah, actually, I had a chance to be Brick on stage in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. I actually said I played Brick twice in two different shows. And he's like, oh, shit. And he just looked down at me, and then, like, you know, like, I was like, I had said something wrong. Oh. And I was like, I'm sorry. But he was really cool. And we just kind of chatted off and on. And he was just kind of telling stories in between while they were doing setups. And he was just a really normal, cool guy. I mean, I had this sense of, holy crap, here's this icon of Hollywood. But he was just normal. He just wanted to do the shots, get a good take, do the work, and, you know, and then go back to his trailer at the end of the day.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think this was and to give you an idea of who Burt Reynolds was, because for a lot of the scenes, they needed to fill up the Grand Theater, which is the theater in downtown Cartersville. It seats about 400 or 500. So they put a call out to the community for people to just volunteer for 4 to 5 hours. And they didn't get paid to come in, but they all thought, well, hey, we're going to meet and see Burt Reynolds. Well, they didn't know that they had already shot all of Burt Reynolds' close-ups and everything from the audience's perspective. So they had a stand-in that was going to be on stage to shoot from behind to make it look like he was, you know, bowing to the crowd. They didn't need to have Burt Reynolds on stage for 3 hours while they did the different takes of him bowing from behind. And everybody started thinking, like, oh, why are we here? And then all of a sudden he comes out on stage before they start rolling. And he said, I know you guys were expecting to see me. This is kind of like how Hollywood works, but I figured you came out here to see me. I should come out and at least talk to you. And he spent 30 minutes just talking to the audience, taking questions before they even rolled. I thought that was really cool.
What a great experience.
No, they said, when he filmed The Last Movie Star, he gave all the women, every time a woman would walk up to him, he gave them a white rose.
Wow.
And I don't even know where he came with this unlimited supply of white roses.
He must carry them with him. What were we going to say, Helen?
I was just going to say, it was a really cool experience because one of the first movies I ever saw in the theater that I remember outside of Star Wars was Smokey and the Bandit.
Same here.
So he was always Bandit to me. I mean, all the movies he ever did, he was Bandit. And I remember getting in trouble from my dad because it was his fault. He took me and my brother to the movie. We come home. All I want to do is ride my bike and hit my brakes as hard as I can and burn rubber or leave rubber on the driveway because that's what Bandit did. And so my brother and I marked up the entire driveway. My dad comes home and goes, "Who the hell marked up the driveway?" We were just pretending to be Smokey and the Bandit, you know?
I went to school and was repeating lines that Jackie Gleason had said, and that kind of got me in trouble.
Yeah, that was my – I got in trouble doing that with Patton, one of the other movies my dad used to watch all the time when I was little.
Oh, yeah. You don't know some son of a bitch.
Well, I wanted to ask you, especially with kind of putting them together, Blazing Saddles, whenever you do that, that is extremely politically incorrect. There's a lot of parts of it with Cleavon Little. And I just watched the Saturday Night Live with Burt Reynolds. And at the beginning, Garrett Morris comes into the room and he's talking to him about something, teasing him about not getting an Academy Award. And as soon as he walks out, Burt says, you like that? I'm the N-word of Hollywood. And everybody was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. It was just okay.
Was it unedited?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was just what flew.
Well, he wasn't respected in Hollywood at all, really.
But, yeah.
I don't think
there's actually a really funny story. And one of the movies I actually do like, it's kind of cheesy, but, I think it's late 80s, mid to late 80s. But City Heat with Burt Reynolds and Clint Eastwood. And Burt Reynolds told a story that when he and Clint apparently went up for some role or some movie together very, very early on, and they were both basically told at the same time that, Clint, you're too skinny and no one's going to like an actor with a neck as long as yours, and Burt, you can't act. And so
wow.
You should go look for different careers.
Wasn't that Gunsmoke?
it was, very, very early. And they walked out and Burt said to Clint, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he's like, "I'm just going to go audition again." Mm-hmm. And then Burt goes, "Well, I'm going to go get some acting lessons."
Do you guys hear about some of these roles that he turned down?
Yeah.
This is from Variety. He turned down the role of Michael Corleone in The Godfather, which went to Al Pacino. He turned down Han Solo. Could you imagine how different Star Wars would have been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He turned down Richard Gere's role in Pretty Woman. I probably would have liked it more, but he was kind of too old for that. He turned down Jack Nicholson's role in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. See, these are all great decisions because the people that took these roles ended up making them iconic. He turned down John McClane in Die Hard, Jack Nicholson role in Terms of Endearment. So that's pretty amazing. All those roles.
Well, he liked to do. He liked to work with his friends, and that's he didn't care.
They were going to make him James Bond too, but then he turned that down.
He said it was stupid to have an American James Bond. He thought it was dumb.
Yeah, that is dumb.
I get the sense he knew sort of, I don't want to say his limitations, but what would work and what wouldn't, and what made sense for him and what didn't. And, all those movies you mentioned, I think you're right, Tim, the actors that actually did get cast made it their own. It's like, how do you imagine Burt Reynolds doing it? But the flip side, you go watch Boogie Nights, I can't imagine anybody else playing his role.
No, and I'm one of the few people who say that he got ripped off for that role because he was nominated. He won the Golden Globe. He was nominated for an Academy Award and lost. Now, Robin Williams was great in what's that, how about them apples?
Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting.
But that was a role he'd played before and played after. The same, delivery, all that shit. And he had plenty of time. Burt Reynolds deserved respect, and he should have gotten an Oscar for that role, I think.
And he almost tried to punch Paul Thomas Anderson in the face on that role.
Oh, why?
Because...
Oh, he turned it down, I think, 10 or 15 times, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. And he really...
Well, he didn't understand the movie.
No, and he thought hated it, was all porn. It. He hated it for years. I think just in the past few years is where he kind of grew an affection for it, but he never did. And with Paul Thomas Anderson, what it was is that he was only 27 years old, And he's kind of bossing Bert around a little bit because there was a line that Bert didn't want to say. He didn't feel comfortable with it.
Amen what
line? And Paul Thomas Anderson, I don't know what line.
Amen at her tits, Eddie.
Probably. And he didn't feel comfortable saying it. And Paul Thomas Anderson said, well, that's what we are paying you for, so say the damn line.
Oh.
And Bert jumped up and tried to punch him in the face. They had to hold him back. And so he really hated him. And he hated Heather Graham. He said Heather Graham, even though she didn't have to walk around without a bra on and roller skates all the time because it wasn't her time to, she did it all the time. And he thought it was really trashy and gross.
Yeah. Well, if the shoe fits. You like that movie, Alan, Boogie Nights?
I love Boogie Nights. I had, to this day, there are moments in that movie. You know when you're young and you see a movie and things stick with you and they become sort of like your favorite all-time movies because they make an impression?
Yeah.
And it's a lot harder when you get older for a movie to just stick with you, because especially if you see a lot, that movie hit me like I had never seen a movie before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what
it
do you?
Was amazing.
Like, what do you always think now whenever you hear "Fooled Around and Fell in Love"? I can only picture William H. Macy's old lady in the parking lot.
Well, and anytime you've got Night Ranger,
Sister Christian,
imagine them trying to do that drug deal, and you got the guy in the background trying to see if it's real, you know, if they're doing a real drug deal, if it's fake. The dude's lighting firecrackers in the background, and the other guy's like, "Hey, man, this is great." And I'm like, I'm so tense. I'm like freaking out.
Yeah, that was
I'm not even there.
The and then you find out later, you know, when there's podcasts now about
the Wonderland Murders.
The Wonderland Murders, and that character was based on a real guy, and that was sort of a real event. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those stories from that part of Hollywood all leaked into that film, so
yeah.
You don't know what's real and what isn't.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I loved about Boogie Nights, not just Burt Reynolds, because I thought he was just magnificent. I think just the creativity of some of the camera moves, the camera shots, watching the camera scroll through a party and just dive into the pool, get back out, follow people around, and try to choreograph all of the moving pieces, and it made you feel like you were there.
Right. Mm.
And
right.
I think it was so visceral that when you had those tense moments, you were literally feeling the same emotion of what the characters were feeling.
No, and just the level of actors, Philip Seymour Hoffman, William H. Macy, I mean, Julianne Moore, mm-hmm. they had everybody.
Nina Hartley.
Nina Hartley.
Nina Hartley, yeah.
She's a great actor.
She knew what she was doing.
They had some experts.
Get out of here.
Well, and just the whole movie in general, I thought, and it still to this day sticks with me. And it's really hard, if you've ever done any theater acting, to do the sort of movie within the movie where when you're filming the porn scenes and you have to look like you're a really bad actor, but yet when you get out and you find out, you know, that they're doing the role that's supposed to be done, like Julianne Moore, when she finds out her kid's taken from her and she's going to court.
Yeah.
I mean, she's so emotional, and yet she gets on screen and she sucks, but that's the way she's supposed to be. And to try to do that is really, really hard.
I imagine.
Yeah.
I'm a shitty actor regardless, so I could probably do it. Just a porn thing.
You can do that part.
Yes. All right, Alan. Well, thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. The movie's called
Absolutely.
Hamlet and Hutch. And where can you get it? Or can you? Or is it still available?
I think right now it's free for Amazon Prime subscribers.
Oh, cool.
It's one of those movies, if you look up, it's on Amazon Prime. I'm sure you can find it direct to video. When I think it's all the typical places, like the Walmart, you know, $5 bin at this point. But I'm going to tell you, it's not a great movie. But for me, the fact that it was filmed in Cartersville, and obviously since I actually made it in the final, it's kind of cool to not be on the cutting room floor. So it's a Hallmarky kind of almost that family sort of movie that you can show your kids. It's not horrible. They got a subplot about these guys that are trying to steal his dog, and his dog is named Hamlet. Anyway, but it's not a great movie, but it is fun to see it.
But it's also a piece of, if you're in Georgia, rent it.
Yeah.
Or get it, or watch it for free on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
So, all right, Alan, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alan.
Come back when you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Come back when you guys start doing the Blazing Saddles.
All right. We'll keep you guys in touch with where we are in terms of the pre-production.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Cool.
All right. See you, man.
Bye.
I didn't cut him off, I hope. I love that. We got to do the show here more often. It's easy. We can get people on the phone, and I'm not stupid. I can get it done.
No, you're stupid still.
So we got more stories and stuff. Steph knows a lot about Burt Reynolds, and you read his book, right? Or read a book about him?
I've just read. Yeah, I've just read lots of stuff about him. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah, pretty big fan.
Watch the last movie star.
Yes.
If you're gonna do anything in Burt's honor, like this week or whatever. Watch The Last Movie Star.
That is also available on Amazon Prime if you're a Prime subscriber.
It's just a perfect movie.
Here's a couple of radios who posted on Facebook their messages on our Facebook page. Paul Anderson.
Paul Thomas Anderson?
No, just Paul Anderson. He always liked the amount of support that Bert gave to FSU after his playing days. And he says, it's weird to think he was on the team with Lee Corso.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I didn't know that Bert played football.
He did.
Yeah. It's, and then he became a stuntman.
Rusty Weinberg's, Hooper, that's an underrated film. Rusty Weinberg says his top four movies are Sharky's Machine, which, you know, that's a movie where he jumps off the Omni Hotel.
I do know that. I blame Sharky's Machine for my mother marrying my stepfather. That was their first date, and they had such a good time, and then they ruined our lives.
Pups? He says that's a must-watch. I don't know what Pups is.
I'm assuming
it's about dogs. Gator? I love Gator.
Gator is a horrible movie.
I know it is, but I love it anyway.
It's so bad. You know, he's in the swamp, and he's wearing dress boots.
Yeah, I know.
But the song, the Jerry Reed Gator song, is just...
I love Jerry Reed. Mwah. By the way, if you've never listened to Jerry Reed and you think he's corny or whatever, just listen to it for his guitar playing. He's an amazing guitar
player.
I
had the 45 of the Bird. I played it over and over and over when I was a kid. I was insane about
Jerry
Reed.
You know that song?
Oh, my God. I love the Bird.
Wait till you hear him sing George Jones. And he does that Willie Nelson at the end.
Yeah.
The life I love is making money with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. That is such a great song. I didn't know other people appreciated it.
I loved it.
If you played Grand Theft Auto, you know Amos Moses because that played all the time. Adam Kelly says, always loved him in All Dogs Go to... the other movie Rusty said was Boogie Nights. Adam Kelly, always loved him in All Dogs Go to Heaven. The hell scene freaked me out as a kid, though. I've never seen that movie.
All dogs go to heaven.
Leslie
but
Norman.
First, they must die.
Leslie Norman's favorite clip is from the Golden Girls. You guys see that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's real quick here.
I didn't know he was
Reynolds.
I hope so, otherwise I got the wrong underwear on.
Hang on.
Mr. Bart Reynolds.
I hope so, otherwise I got the wrong underwear on.
He's the roommate you told me about?
Yeah.
Which one's a slut?
I think they all got arrested because they were hanging out with prostitutes, so they're all in this prison. And then it turns out Sophia is the one that's friends with Bert. He shows up, take her out to lunch, and they all go, which one's a slut? And they all go, we are, yeah. So thank you for that, Leslie. Lou Caniglio says, I attribute being a car guy to Bert Reynolds. As a kid, my dad drove a 78 Pontiac Le Mans, and he had a copy.
Beautiful car.
Oh, I know. And he had a copy of the full Pontiac line brochure for that model year. I was in love with that Trans Am and got the drool over it in pictures when Smoking the Bandit wasn't being repeated on HBO, which it was ad nauseum. Not as much as Smoking the Bandit 3. It also made my dad seem a little cooler because he drove a Pontiac, and he also had a mustache.
Oh, like a Bert?
Oh, yeah.
Mustache,
I mean, that's
too.
70s mustache. Mm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know why he grew that mustache.
Because he didn't want to look like
Marlon Brando.
Right.
Because they got compared so often.
They did look alike. Mark Collier, I remember when I was a kid and Bert was filming in Savannah. He was filming Gator. Mark says, I was a little young, but remember my mom worked at the beach, Tybee, and watched them film the ending. We also had a friend that was in The Longest Yard. He was one of the men dressed like a cheerleader. Found out as I got older, one of the friend's mom was sleeping with Bert at the time of filming Gator. Her husband was doing time for trying to hijack a plane to Cuba. Ah, the good old days.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Bert would really get in there.
Here's another one. Andrew Sen. When they were filming parts of Smoking the Bandit in Jonesboro, my mom was eating at Sambo's restaurant.
Oh, my God.
You remember Sambo's?
Is Sambo's still around?
No.
I think not.
No.
It's po-folks now. No, it's just folks now.
Hashtag time's up.
No, it's just called folks now. Yeah. They changed it to po-folks, and then they changed it to folk.
It could exist in Australia, apparently, by artistries that we've seen this week.
Are you talking about the cartoon that drew a caricaturization of somebody that he has also done? Anyway, I'm sure we disagree
that's
on that.
That's racist.
So Sambo's. Yeah, they had one in Elmira, New York. I ate there once. It was packed, and two gents asked if they could sit with them. Since she had a booth by herself, turns out it was Bert and Jackie Gleason. They bought my mom's lunch and both gave her autographs. She loved to tell that story. It was her favorite tale to tell until she passed away 2 years ago at the ripe old age of 90. That's a good life.
Aww.
And then the last one comes from Tim Phillips. He is a Bert Reynolds lookalike.
Oh.
And he sent some pictures.
Oh, yeah, I saw those pictures. He looks a lot like young Bert.
He says, last year at the 40th anniversary of Smoking the Bandit in Jonesboro, Georgia, they asked me to drive Bert's car and reenact the picking up the beer scene that was filmed there. So I'm sitting with Bert on the couch in the press room. My mother-in-law calls. I tell her I'm sitting with Bert Reynolds, and she has me tell him she has always had a huge crush on him. He asks, how old are you? She says, 67. He says, are you single? In which she says, yes. And he says, well, honey, that means there's still a chance. And we all laugh. So, Tim, thank you. And by the way, the Tim looks exactly like
him. Yeah, post those pictures to the Radio Labyrinth, the Radio Shack.
Yeah, after the show drops, I'll post them. So, they'll be there when you hear this. So where are we going to go from here?
I mean, that was the great thing about Bert is he was such an everyman. And back in the day when he was on Carson so often and all those shows, no other stars did that. That's why a lot of people didn't take him seriously, because he didn't take himself seriously.
No, he hosted the Tonight Show.
Yeah, and he would go on there and he would act like a fool, and he didn't care if people made fun of him or anything like that. But that now, that's the norm.
Right, it is. Yeah, everybody just kind of shows up.
Yeah, he paved the way for that.
How many times did you see Hooper?
I've seen Hooper a lot.
Hooper was a good one, for sure.
Jan Michael Vincent.
I remember being in line to see a movie, and I can't remember what movie it was. It wasn't Hooper. But I remember somebody, I think it was a girl, and she was either trying to get out of a fight or maybe starting a fight, and she was like, I've seen Hooper 9 times. Like that would keep her from getting in a fight or... Would instigate a fight? I don't think I ever really understood what that had to do with the fight.
Was the other person saying, I've seen Stroker Ace 10 times.
I love Stroker Ace.
11 times.
That's the one with Lonnie Anderson, right?
Right. Yeah. The woman that he said he never even liked. Never even liked her at all.
That's sad.
Doesn't know why he married her. Said she would spend $10,000 on a dress and then never wear it again. She just bilked him for every dime that she could.
Wow. Well, she had money. She was on a show.
She didn't have Bert money.
You know, one of the reasons I liked Hooper so much is James Best was in it.
James Best.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Ah, yes.
I was kind of a dork. Let's play some more clips. We were talking about Boogie Nights, so we can play some of those here. Aim it at her tits, Eddie.
So what I'm trying to tell you, Eddie, is that it takes a lot of a good old American green stuff make one of these things, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, you've got your camera, you've got your film, you got your lights, you got your sound, you got your lab costs, you got your developing, you got your syncing, you got your editing. Before you turn around, you spent maybe $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 on a movie.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, that's a lot of money, Jack.
But if you make a good one, there's practically no end to how much money.
Have you seen Jack's house?
No.
You will.
You will.
He'll see it.
Yeah.
You got maybe 15, 20 guys standing around just making sure that your lighting is right. But you can work out in the morning, you can work out at noon, you can work out at night. Doesn't matter. If you don't have those juices flowing down there in the Mr. Torpedo area in the fun zone. But you got to get the people in the theater. You know, you need the big dicks, the big tits.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Oh, God, this
one
again.
How do you keep them in the theater after they've come? With beauty and with acting.
And with acting.
You know,
maybe that's a line he didn't like.
Well, you know, he said he liked Wahlberg, but even though he was a little too methody, because he said he walked around... He walked around pretending that he had an erection all the time.
Really?
The entire time they were filming.
It's my big dick.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I want to be in business with you, Ed.
Really?
Huh? What do you think?
I'd love it.
What do you think of Roller Girl?
She's great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Would you like to do it?
Have sex.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd love to. She's really foxy.
No, I bet your ass she is.
You're officially out of lines, Jack.
Well, I'll pick up some for you tomorrow, son. Come here, darling. I want you to go over there and sit on the couch with Eddie.
Here we go. Are we going to fuck?
Oh, yes.
Aim it at her tits, Eddie. Got another one. You guys mind this? I like...
I don't know.
Hey. Hey. How you doing?
This is when he meets him for the first time in the kitchen.
How old are you?
Oh, I have a work permit. I have all the papers.
No, nothing like that. You been working here long?
A month.
Maurice give you the job?
Yeah.
You from around here? I mean, Canoga, Reseda?
No, you know where Torrance is?
Yeah. How do you get here?
Take the bus.
So where do you want to be?
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, you take the bus from Torrance to come here to Reseda to do this job. Can't you get a job like this at Torrance?
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Then we have...
You want 5 or 10?
You remember this?
What?
Well, if you just want to see me jack off, it's 10. But if you just want to look at it, it's only 5.
That's what Louis should have said.
Yes.
You already done it to me?
A couple times.
And you can do it again?
If you want, if you got 10 bucks.
Okay. Yeah. I'm out. There's no way I could do that 3 times.
Well, he was like, what, 19,
yeah,
18?
17.
17, okay.
My name is Jack.
Eddie Adams.
Eddie Adams. Jack Horner. That, to me, was one of my favorite movies in the 90s.
Oh, sure.
All right, yeah.
Well, and Paul Thomas Anderson, I mean, that was really his whole vision. Like, yeah, he was saying about the shooting of it and everything. And I could understand why he was so passionate about it once we saw the end result, but still.
You were talking about Brando.
Oh, yeah.
Let's play this clip. Now, this was from when they were shooting Apocalypse Now. And, you know, Brando was always an asshole, so.
Don't say that name around me.
You not like?
Someone mentioned Burt Reynolds.
Don't say that name around me.
You not like him?
He is the epitome of something that makes me want to throw up.
He's a nice guy.
He is?
You want to come in here?
He can't be. I don't know why I hate him.
Yeah, he is a nice guy, is what I think.
He can't be. He's the epitome of everything that's disgusting about the thespian. Just holy. He has a...
Where'd you get that idea? I don't know him at all.
He worships at the temple of his own narcissism.
Sounds like an asshole.
Yeah.
You were telling me, though, because we had talked about this earlier. Why did that all come about? He didn't like Burke?
He did not.
Because they looked alike.
Yeah, he did not like the fact that people were comparing Burt to him just because they looked alike, and he felt that Burt's acting skills were not even close to his.
Right.
He couldn't act his way. And then they ended up on, what film was it that they, there was something that they acted in together. And
they did?
Something, because that's how they ended up running into each other, is it was like during a break in shooting. Him and Brando kind of went back and forth. And Brando said, you know, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to hijack my career and all this other stuff. And Burt had grown a mustache at that point to differentiate them. And Burt's like, I'm not trying to get in on your whatever. You know, it's like, I've got my own thing going here. And Brando just wouldn't let up about it. And Burt's like, I'm not going to have surgery just so that we look so much different. But if it's going to make you feel better, I promise I'll never get fat.
Yeah, what a great line. That's a great line.
And he never did.
Nope.
No, he did not. He did not. Yeah, well, fuck you, Marlon Brando. Think Burt Reynolds ever fucked Richard Pryor in the ass?
Aye.
Like Marlon?
No, actually, Burt, he was really into Joanne Woodward. He was trying to steal her from
Paul Newman.
Yeah, and they went to Gore Vidal's house one night because she was really good friends with Gore Vidal, and Burt went with them. Well, Gore picked up on it. He was a, you know, gay man, and he kind of knew what Burt was up to, and he kind of really went at Burt a lot and made him uncomfortable. So
maybe try to hit on him?
No, just he was really digging at him and saying smart shit to him. And then Burt, I guess, went to the kitchen to just kind of get a break, and Gore's man of the house came up behind Burt and put his arms around him and said, I love you, and Burt threw him through the living room.
Can't do that laugh. I wish I could. I could do it when I was 9. Remember this movie?
Oh, my God. Tell me I'm dreaming. Please. Oh, no, 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 no. I cannot believe this. No, no, no. Davey, no.
Is this land fresh?
Hot out of the Maytag. Oh.
You just can't imagine. This is the very essence of that glorious creature.
I gotta say, even for you, Davey, this is off the charts. Why are you all shiny?
It's Vaseline.
Oh. It's Vaseline.
You've never covered yourself with Vaseline.
No. Not unless I have third-degree burns, no.
You don't know what you're missing. got it all over. It's down in my boots. I can feel it squishing between my toes.
All right, okay. Davey!
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
You ever read the book, Carl Hiaasen's book?
Mm-mm.
He wrote a lot of those fun books, always, you know, around Florida area. But that movie was fun. You know, I don't really care about Demi Moore. She's a shitty actress, but that's when she got her fake boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that. That was...
Well, you know, I didn't care about that. Burt Reynolds was great in that, though.
Yeah, he was.
The congressman.
Yeah, he was. He was really good in that.
So I want to play a couple more clips from Burt. These are from... actually, they're Norm MacDonald, because remember we were playing those before we took the break to talk to Alan. You guys want me to play them, or you want to
keep...
All right. These are all from the Celebrity Jeopardy era. So let's get going here.
The answer is... Popeye is this sort of man. Burt Reynolds.
What is Popeye?
Now, this is the first one, though.
And finally, back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead with $14.
Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. A petit déjeuner. That category is about French phrases, so let's just skip it.
Hey, I speak a little French. You're an ass bite. Pardon my French.
My name's French.
Yeah, well, who gives a damn?
Mr. Reynolds, unfortunately, you're in the lead, so we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. For $400. This condiment is made from mustard seeds. French Stewart.
The answer, of course, is onions. I'll take condiments for $800, thank you.
That's not the right answer. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay, Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
One more.
Mr. Reynolds, what are you doing?
Yeah, I found this backstage, an oversized hat. It's funny.
No, it's not.
Turd it. It's funny. It's funny because it's bigger than a, you know, a normal hat.
I see that. Get back to your podium.
Take a look at that.
Yeah, I see it. Go back to your podium. It's not funny.
Anyway, those are some great Saturday Night Live episodes.
God, yes, they were.
It's weird that we, you know, Jimmy Fallon wouldn't let him on his show this week, but Jimmy Fallon's the one doing French Stewart and that.
Yep.
Oh, well, Jimmy, he doesn't own NBC.
No, he doesn't, but he could have said, well, I'm not going to do the show, but he's too much of a wuss. You know, the reason
Jimmy's mom just died. Give him a break.
Well, the reason he couldn't do it is because the producers of The Tonight Show were crying because of what Norm said.
Oh,
they were crying.
I looked it up. I agree with you. It's ridiculous.
I looked it up. Two of the producers are men, and the executive producer is a woman. So either the two men are wusses, or the woman was crying, and I understand that. You know, women cry. You got to let them have whatever they want.
Nobody's crying. I don't believe anybody cried.
No, why would he say that? Cried. Why would
I
he say
that?
I don't know. Oh, you're crying. He wanted to blame it on somebody else, but he didn't think Norm should come on because of the controversy.
I'm not a fan.
Two people that would never have done that. Jay Leno and Johnny Carson. Another. David Letterman. They would not have done that.
Do you watch The Tonight Show?
I don't watch any of that shit.
I don't either.
Because it's all...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like when you watch those old clips of Carson and things like that, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what it used to be.
Yes.
I watch a Conan every now and then.
Conan is the only one that sticks to the old formula, and he would probably not do that to Norm because he loves Norm, and he knows how much content and how much funny he brings to the show.
Do you have any clips of Norm doing the news on SNL? Because, my God, he was one of my favorites.
No,
or
I don't
so the
those.
Germans would have us believe.
Yes. There's all
Norm
that.
Didn't die, though. Burt Reynolds died.
Right, so we're not going to play anymore. So yeah, I got a couple more clips, but anything that we have left out that you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the time when he was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and Mark Summers from Double Dare came on there.
You want to hear the clip before you talk about it?
Yes.
All right, this is just a short clip. Oops.
We once filled a container with 4,000 pounds of baked beans and made kids dive into it, which was really great.
Gee, I wish I'd seen that.
You would have. Now, you said you,
You make the kids. I mean, you force the child.
No.
You hold the child's head under the baked beans and then throw them out. And then
we have an obstacle course.
Who told
course.
You were a neatness freak?
Yeah.
I just say that because your back is to me, and I was just talking to a back.
No, no, I can talk to you too, Bert.
Thank you.
Watch out, he's got scissors.
He's got scissors.
No, I was just wondering who told you that, because
my wife tells me that often.
She says, good morning,
I'm still married, as a matter of fact.
Yes, well, you...
Oh, this is when he throws the coffee on him.
Water. Water. It's just water.
And... You know, it's funny how that neatness freak goes right away.
Let me explain this. This is what's known as losing control of the program. Right?
Really, he's not a neatness freak anymore.
Yeah, Bert, he tried to throw water back on Bert, and Bert slammed his gun out of the way, so go ahead.
And Bert said that it was really because he took offense to the fact that Mark had his back to him when he was talking to Jay, like he wasn't there or whatever. And Mark, to his credit, I really don't think he meant anything by it. He really liked Bert. They'd worked together before on some other stuff. So,
oh, they had.
Yeah, he was really surprised that Bert was so whatever, but when he made the comment about the marriage, because he was going through his divorce with Lonnie Anderson
at the time. Oh, man.
It was a very sore subject.
That's how Clip Jay Leno looks so young.
Oh, I know, right? And
yeah.
Jay, you could tell Jay was scared.
Uh-huh.
It's like this thing is about to go off the rails.
It was right when Burt Reynolds started looking old.
Yeah.
But it was Evening Shade era, so you can imagine, right? I mean, it was toward Evening Shade, that show. I mean, that was a successful sitcom for a while.
Shade.
You did?
Yeah.
Who else was on it?
On Evening Shade.
And there was a bunch of people on that.
Mary Lou Henner.
Oh, yeah. Cannonball Run 2.
Yeah, Ossie
Mr.
Davis.
Noodle.
Ossie Davis did the intro and the end of it every night in a little town like Shade.
Charles Durning, Michael Jeter.
Charles Durning. He worked with Charles Durning so much. I
love
know,
Charles Durning.
He probably did Best Little Whorehouse with Charles Durning. If you look at a lot of his older movies,
Charles Durning was a World War II hero?
Really?
Yeah, and he never ever capitalized on it like a true hero would. He was a hero in World War II and he just became an actor.
I don't ever remember him not being round, like not having Chief Wiggum's body. So I don't understand what he'd do in World War II.
Well, I don't imagine he looked like that in World War II.
But that's all I ever knew him to look like.
I love him in Tootsie.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it, Cat's Eye?
Cat's Eye. Yeah.
Where he makes Robert Hayes walk around the building. Well, isn't that him?
Yeah, that was him.
Gave him a severe drinking problem.
Yes.
Oh, I love him as Pappy O'Danho.
What's that?
Oh, No Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yeah. Duh. I haven't watched that movie as often as I've watched
it. Looking forward to that new one that's going to be on Netflix.
What one?
Coen Brothers movie. It looks like it's kind of set in the same world as...
Straight to Netflix?
Yeah, it's getting a small theatrical release, but...
Yeah. Mm.
It's, Netflix also.
Yeah, isn't that not theirs? Aren't they just producing it or something?
I don't know. I don't know much about it. I just saw a thing about it the other day.
But you guys know Bert was going to be in the new Quentin movie. He was going to be in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right.
He'd been cast in that.
The Manson movie.
Yeah, he was getting ready for it, yeah.
Was he going to play the man that owned Spawn Ranch, right?
Yes. Yes.
God.
Yep.
That old man that just... all those girls... Because that's how Manson got to stay there. Those girls the girls just fucked that guy.
It just sounded so creepy the way you said it.
I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it to be creepy. I meant it to be
No, you meant it creepy.
No, I didn't.
All those culty girls that would do whatever I wanted.
There's a million other things we could talk about. You know, I love Bert. He's an icon of our generation. Is he just one of those guys that when he passes away, that's just such a huge guy? And, I appreciate Alan calling in and sharing his story, and I want to thank all the radios who posted on our Facebook page, and you guys, you know.
I meant to listen to Southside Steve's show the day after he died, but I forgot.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear what Southside had to say about
it. I forget to listen to that show every day.
Yeah, I know. But I specifically wanted to hear what Southside had to say.
Does he have his own show now, or is he still with?
No, he's still with What's His Ass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the name of the show, Southside Steve and What's His Ass. On What's Its Fuck, 0.5.
Southside Steve and Jerkwad.
Yeah. I mean, Steve loved him and, you know, the bar, which I thought was awesome. I loved the interior of that bar. If you never had a chance to see it, there's probably pictures online somewhere, but he had the painting from the side of the of a snowman's truck was painted on the wall.
And Bert never got to come to the bar, did he?
God, he knew it. Someone told him about it, and Bert cried. When the person told him, he was cried from happiness, not because he was sad. He was like,
I made a bar about it. No, he's just so touching how sweet he was. He was such a nice man.
He never thought it would turn into such an urban hotspot. Anyway. all right, so rest in peace, Burt Reynolds. Also, rest in peace, Mac Miller, whoever the hell that is.
Hey, don't glaze over him like that.
All right, who's Mac Miller?
He was a rapper.
Ariana Grande's ex-boyfriend.
I wasn't a fan of his music, but...
Did she kill him? Was it her fault?
Yeah, because she's dating Pete Davidson now, so he decided to kill off himself.
He's had a drug problem for a long time. Mm-hmm. She kind of helped him get clean, and then it seems like he was kind of sliding off the wagon again. And then it was very weird how her and Mac Miller broke up in May, and Pete Davidson dumped Larry David's daughter in May.
Oh.
Dumped her, Cassie David, and then boom, the two of them are dating in May, and they're engaged in June. So, yeah, he took it like a week after she dumped him. He wrapped his Mercedes around a telephone pole in a DUI, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. As of late, they were saying that he was getting his act together because he just dropped a new album like a week ago. Mm-hmm. And I did not like his music, but he was a... wildly popular. I can't tell you every single respectable member of the hip-hop community that, I mean, legends. They love this kid.
Really?
Everybody raves about him. I mean, he featured on everybody's album. I mean,
who's the white guy that hates Eminem?
Oh, you're talking about stupid Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah.
That's his name, Machine Gun Kelly?
Yeah, he
was on that Showtime show, the Roadies show.
He was on Roadies.
I didn't watch that.
Yeah, he's lame. He's terrible. He's about like a Yellow Wolf or any of the other ones that are super lame.
Now, who's the goofy ass fuck with the rainbow hair and the tattoos and the
Riff Raff?
That guy, who the fuck is that?
Riff Raff is hilarious.
Oh, come on.
I actually enjoy Riff Raff. He's pretty funny. And him and Mac Miller, that's the only song I like by Mac Miller is Aquaberry Dolphin. And he sings on that song.
Give me some KRS-One. Give me some old. I can only listen to old school. Like, I can't listen to this stuff.
That's too old school, I think, almost. KRS-One.
Why do you have four Cardi B CDs in your car?
Shut up, asshole.
Cardi B. How about Cardi B and Nicki Minaj and their whole big fight they had?
Is Nicki Minaj's ass fake?
Yes.
Everything's fake about her.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but I saw a side.
You ever seen pictures of her from before she was famous?
No. Right.
Looks like a totally different person.
And she had a completely normal body. Lil Wayne built that. Lil Wayne put all his cash money into that and built her.
But she, tits, I get. But why put all that shit in your ass?
It's a thing. It's a thing. Some people are into Kim Kardashian.
Hers are fake?
Yeah, of course it's fake, Tim. Haven't you seen old pictures of Kim?
Yeah, but I thought she just got fat.
No, she looked like Jafar from Aladdin.
I saw those pictures of her on that OJ movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Those are all. What they do is they take fat from the rest of your body and they inject it into your butt.
Why?
Because it's a thing. I don't know why, and I don't know why they all think it's cool. I don't get it. But then it collapses on you. Kim actually had some of the fat taken out of her ass recently because it was getting too crazy.
So Nicki Minaj got in a fight with this Cardi B, whoever that is.
Yeah, well, Cardi B is, she just had a baby with Offset from Migos. And Cardi B has been saying that Nicki Minaj has been talking smack about her. And then she said something about Cardi B's baby at this big ass thing that they had. So Cardi B took her shoe off and threw it at her. And then somebody's bodyguard hit her in the head anyway. So Nicki talked all about it this week on her show, Queen Radio.
Oh yeah, I have that in my queue.
She has a show about Wendy Muller.
She does about Wendy. I'm sorry, guys. I hate to waste our people's time with this information.
Tupac's alive.
Is he?
Yeah, there's a story that broke today that Tupac was flown to Cuba. After he was shot.
I don't want to know that.
Where did this story break that? Crazy Days and Night?
No. Some other website. I saw it on Twitter.
So he's still alive and he's in Cuba?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I imagine he's not alive.
Nah, I don't think so.
But he was an amazing rapper.
He was. And his music, actually, I can listen to it more than I can B.I.G. has
I like
more
B.I.G., but his
longevity.
Songs all sound the same.
They do all sound the same. They and, do all sound the same. Unless you listen to like his real, real, real gangster stuff.
And also, Tupac was classically trained and can act, and he was very smart.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Biggie wasn't smart. I'm just saying that Tupac was super intelligent.
Well, they were both phonies. I mean, you know that. Like, Biggie grew up, his mom was a teacher. He wasn't a thug at all.
Right.
That was all an act. And the same thing with Tupac.
Same thing with N.W.A.
Tupac was poor, and yeah, his mom was a crackhead, but he wasn't some hardcore dude. It was whenever they filmed Juice.
Uh-huh.
He filmed Juice, and he played that character, and everybody said after that movie, he took on that persona.
He was in Digital Underground. I mean,
I get around.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Bombing and bomb, bomb.
I hope our listeners are just digging this, because I think there's like two people that listen to the show.
People remember. People remember. If you're a millennial and you're 30, between 30 and 40, they all love that stuff.
I mean,
because it was popular music then.
I keep up with all this crap
Pitcher Me
for
Rolling,
some reason.
Feel like OJ all day.
Pitcher Me Rolling was the jam. I was a big Thug Life. I was a big Outlaws fan when he prior to you.
Outlaws. I got keys coming from overseas. Cuss the person 200 G's. I'm a street command on Eno, for example.
That's perfect. See, that's why I'm not even going to pretend. To be too. I'm not even going to do it.
I said person. I didn't say the other word. That's why I say person. People.
Bury me a G.
People with attitudes.
Yeah, those people.
No, don't say those.
Who are those people?
Don't say you or those. Just say people. People with attitudes.
I really do wonder how Alan and them are going to do parts of Blazing Saddles. It's so rough.
I don't know. If they're like most people, they won't care. All right, we got to wrap up here soon.
No.
Yes.
Bill Daly died too. From.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, rest in peace, Bill Daly from I Dream of Jeannie and Bob Newhart.
Major Daly.
He was a good sidekick guy. He was on every game show imaginable in the 70s too. Most notably Match Game, where he replaced Richard Dawson. So we come back. We're going to do staff picks and just a couple quick news hits, and we'll be right back.
Is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy.
You don't love me, you just love my doggy style.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Oh, can we keep him, Dad, please?
But he's a loser. He's pathetic. He's...
Steph, what's going on with the doggies?
First of all, I just want to say thank you to everyone who sponsored me in the Strut Your Mutt event. We raised over $10,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and thank you guys so much. I mean, I ended up raising like $530, and I don't ever raise any money for anything, so I couldn't believe
and
it.
And you did 10K instead of 5K.
Well, I did a 1.5K, because the dog they brought me was not as dog-friendly as they said he was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was freaking out a little bit. But anyway, so thank you guys so much. We came in second place behind Good Muse, and we got an extra $500. So thank you guys so much. And I just wanted to say this Saturday, if you want to come out and look at a couple of dogs that I've got out there, I'll be at the Hollywood Feed in Lawrenceville from 12:30 to 3:30, putting on my little event. And this month at Gwinnett County, they are doing it again. I cannot believe it. All of the pets are $20, and that includes all the stuff, vaccination, spay, neuter, microchip, and they're all free on Fridays. So please help us keep this trend. We are one of the few counties in the state who have not had to euthanize for space, one of the very few counties in the space.
Awesome.
So please, in the state, I mean, so please help us keep that alive. And next Sunday at the Mall of Georgia at 2:00, if you care at all about this backyard breeding, these pieces of crap that are backyard breeding and these puppy mills, we are meeting up with the guy who's running for the Department of Agriculture. I can't remember what his name is, but he's really against that stuff, so I'm going.
All right. Thank you, Steph.
Keep a canine.
Keep a canine.
Yeah.
Woof.
And we're back.
Oh, before we do staff picks, Aaron Paul's going to be on Westwood.
Westworld.
Oh, really?
Westworld, not Westwood. Yeah.
They renewed that show.
Yeah, they did. What'd you say, Jeff?
Yo, bitch.
Yo, bitch, you're a robot. Mr. White. Oh, boy. Bruce Campbell's joining Launch 49.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Can't wait.
I'm digging that show.
He's got to be the captain, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's not a spoiler alert because we're just speculating, but he's got to be the captain. Yeah.
We'll talk about it more next week. But I watched the first episode of The Deuce. Have you guys?
No. Yes. It's my DVR, and I haven't watched the first episode of American Horror Story either.
I haven't either.
DVR.
I gotta watch that.
So good. It starts off really, really good, and then it gets crappy at the end, which is what happens every time.
On what?
On American Horror Story.
Why? Okay.
But it starts out so fucking... Every fucking season, it's like starts out good, and then
he's
saying
the whole season, which he's right. You watch whole season, which I take umbrage with on the last season. I thought the last season was good all the way through. Even the end was good. But,
I watched the first episode of The Purge. Fuck that shit.
You didn't like it?
No, I hate that shit.
I liked it.
I've never seen any of the movies. I was going to ask you if it's worth watching.
You don't have to see the movie. I saw the first movie in the theater, and I thought it was okay.
The first movie was okay. Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
Most of the shows we watch are unbelievable.
I know, but it's crazy. I don't know. I get offended by certain things.
Are you getting on the
camp? What are you offended by? What's offensive to you?
Not offended. I get mentally offended.
What do you mean?
America, all of a sudden, the way that they're going to cleanse everything is by having one day a week where everybody can rape and murder.
One day a year.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's like Handmaid's Tale.
One day a week would be great.
Handmaid's Tale isn't offensive.
No, I look forward to that.
Well, there you go. See, this is what I'm saying. That's offensive to me. I love Handmaid's Tale, but like that lifestyle, it's a nightmare. The Purge is actually kind of a fantasy
mine. Wouldn't you want to be an aunt?
No. I wouldn't want to be any of those monsters.
Boston women around ripping their eyeballs out?
I wouldn't
even
want
to. Cute?
Only if I got to live in Canada. That's the only reason I would even. That's the only role in Handmaid's
Tale.
But The Purge, I would purge the shit out of some people. I would be all for the
but
Purge.
But you get shot at. I'd be hiding in a basement.
No, that's when you train up.
You'd be
dead
the first 30
Fuck
seconds.
That.
Of the
I'm
purge.
Not training Purge.
Bullshit. Look, our IT guy today.
Boom. The Purge starts. Boom. Steph's dead.
Tim's dead. Steph's dead.
Our IT guy today, out of nowhere, he's telling me all these guns that he has. He's like this. He weighs like 15 pounds. He's like 27.
Wouldn't you rather just put his arm around your waist?
No, it's not even. But he's showing me pictures on his phone. This little dude's got an AK. He's got an AR-15. I mean, he's got an arsenal in his apartment in Midtown. And I was just like, what the hell? This is like totally against type. He's like, yeah, I got a pistol in the front seat of my car and a rifle in the back. The pistol's for up close. That way you get off six quick shots. Then you scramble around in the back. And then that way the people that are further away coming at you, you get the rifle. And then you can
focus coming at you?
This is what I'm saying. But he's getting ready for the Purge, Tim.
All right. Another story.
You're getting in on the cancel South Park.
Well, yeah, what's going on with that? Do they want that show to get canceled or something?
No, there's a teaser promo by the people that make South Park,
right?
Saying
to cancel
South Park.
All right.
Oh, hilarious.
Well, South Park returns in 2 weeks. So, let's do some staff picks before we do ours. We have a radio who submitted us. Before we do ours. I have a radio who submitted staff pick, Lou Caniglio, one of our patrons.
Hey, Lou.
He's a big car guy. I love Louis Kahn.
He's awesome. So he's got a check it out.
Hey, radios. It's Lou Caniglio with this week's picks. First is the new DC animated film, The Death of Superman. Just a very violent, very well done Superman film. That's all I can say. Really enjoyed it. Next is Watchmen, The Ultimate Cut. On Prime Video. It's a 3.5-hour version of the Watchmen film, which I think at the time was super underappreciated. It's based on perhaps the greatest comic book of all time. So, if you've got 3.5 hours to watch, it's definitely worth your time. Last but not least is a new podcast, Pod Minutes to Cast Night. It's for metalheads. They are a bunch of comedians from Brooklyn that take a really crappy metal album made by an otherwise good metal artist, and they bash the crap out of it, laugh about it, make jokes about it, and then try to find something good to say about it. They did Metallica and Lou Reed's Lulu, and really couldn't find anything good to say about it. So, anyway, that's it for me. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Lou. That was pretty cool. And now we'll get on to ours. Jeff, you go first.
Mine is Norm MacDonald has a show. On Netflix.
For now.
Norm MacDonald might have a show.
And by the time the podcast drops, you'll be able to watch all of them.
Yep.
And also Adam Rifkin, if you're going to watch The Last Movie Star, Adam Rifkin appeared on Smodcast with Kevin Smith, and they talk a lot about that. Last Movie Star.
Kevin Smith talks a lot. I'm going to keep waiting for Adam Rifkin to be able to respond, and Kevin responds to his own questions to him. Yep. It was like, come on.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Have either of you listened to...
What?
Have you listened to Joe Rogan?
No.
No.
Elon Musk.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Wow. Why can't Elon Musk invent a hurricane buster?
I'm working on something now. Well, it's
working
not
on a blunt.
It's not really a flamethrower. It's not a flamethrower.
You just light your blunts with it. And Henry Winkler's on. You made it weird this week, also.
Cool, Steph.
Mine is. We were just talking about it. The old ranch there in the Manson cult or whatever. On Monday, the Manson cult, The Lost Tapes, is going to be on Fox September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like 10
Is it hosted by Geraldo Rivera?
No,
What's
actually.
What's inside the Manson cult?
It's actually, no, they've got some street cred because it's narrated by Ray Donovan. And I love his voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Liev Schreiber's narrating it. And it's all like 12 or 13 hours of footage that they whittled down to 2 hours. And this is like right whenever they were getting busted or about to get busted. And it's all from that ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stuff that's never been heard before. I'm hoping that it's not going to be like some Geraldo crap, but it's supposed to be really good.
Cool.
So that's Monday. And this show premiered on Stitcher Premium back in March. It's a podcast, which I did not have Stitcher Premium, but I knew that it was going to be
released
free on some other ones coming up. And just recently on Apple, it's Marvel's first scripted podcast.
Oh, wow.
And it's called
awesome too.
Wolverine The Long Night. And they've released the first two episodes, and it is so good, you guys.
Who plays Wolverine?
It's a Richard Armitage.
Okay.
I mean, it's everybody on it is great. The acting is superb, and
the sound is really good. Like in the studio, sound effects, music, all that shit.
It's
cool.
Really good. So Wolverine The Long Night.
Awesome. My staff pick is Forever on Amazon Prime Video. It's a brand new show with Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph, where they play a married couple attempting to break out of their boring suburban rut. From Master of None co-creator Alan Yang and 30 Rock's Matt Hubbard, Catherine Keener and Noah Robbins also star.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I hadn't even heard of that.
This sounds like a KP staff pick.
No, Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You don't like them.
I absolutely love both of them. Wait, you don't think I watched Fred Armisen's shows?
Portlandia?
I watched Portlandia. It's
no,
funny
you
didn't. Yes, I did.
Yeah, you watched it.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you the Battlestar Galactica. We've talked about
that
episode.
You watched that one episode.
I've watched at least 30 or 40 episodes of that show.
Catherine Keener's really good on that new kidding show on Showtime with Jim Carrey.
Oh.
It's a dark-ass show.
Mm-mm.
Dark.
Dark-ass.
Why wouldn't you watch it?
I hate him.
You hate Jim Carrey?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You're dead to me, Tim.
Yeah. You sucked him.
In all honesty, it's not because of now. I've never really been a big fan, but now that he won't shut up about politics, I can't stand him.
Oh, why can't you separate that?
Because it annoys me.
I separate everybody's politics.
Well, everybody's a liberal.
I mean, you know how I feel about Trump. I don't care if you love him.
I don't care if you like me either, just as long as you're tremendously big and wet.
Tremendous wet.
Are you wet? Are you super wet? When he plays those roles where he has his hair like that, it annoys me. He just annoys me. He's always annoyed me, except for certain roles.
You don't like Dumb and Dumber?
I love Dumb and Dumber.
And you like
Man on the Moon?
Not really.
The Mask.
I like The Mask.
Okay. So you don't hate him.
I don't hate him, but whatever.
Eternal Sunshine of the
Truman Show.
Truman Show was great.
Eternal Sunshine
like
of the Spotless
Noah Emmerich
Mind.
Better, though.
Huh? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
Never
Mind.
Never saw it.
Great movie. But the show Kidding, you know, he plays like
a kid's
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, and his son died.
Oh.
He has two sons.
So
they're twins, and one dies.
It's dark.
It's very,
very
dark.
Fucking
him and
dark.
Him and his wife are split up, and he wants to address the
All right,
death
I,
of his
I'll
show.
Probably watch
it's
it.
It's really good, Tim. Yeah. I think you'll like it.
I'm
and
sure
Catherine
I will.
And Catherine Keener's great. She plays like
I
a
love
set
Catherine
designer.
Keener.
She plays like a set designer, and she's got all kind of her own weird shit going on.
And
too.
The dudes that play the horse, who's the one dude's
the
a comedian?
He's from the Mighty Boosh.
What's his name? It'll come to me. Rich Fulcher.
Yeah, Rich Fulcher, yeah.
Just
two guys playing, they play a horse, and every time they go on, they go, this costume smells weird.
Smells like buggery.
And they go, we're not fucking in the horse costume, all right?
They are, but they are.
And they show them fucking in the horse costume.
Some people just annoy me. Also, caught the first episode of, God, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is great, with Max Sextall.
I did not like the first episode.
You didn't like that?
No.
Oh, I love what they were doing with
I
that.
I hated Mindy Kaling.
What about
Kaling
Mayans?
On
anybody
there?
Watch Mayans?
Nah.
You should watch it. It's pretty good.
I'm not watching. You're
Edward James Olmos is on there.
I don't care.
You love him.
He's not Captain Adama on that.
Oh, he is. He's Captain Adama on
he
this.
He is?
Yep.
Did they get? I'm assuming they got every Mexican actor they could.
Yeah, they
got. They got George Lopez on there.
hey man,
Erica,
George Lopez,
Eric Estrada, anything they could find.
That's a spin-off.
In the first episode,
of...
they have Sons of Anarchy bikers show up.
Is Jack's gonna show up from the dead?
This is a prequel, so that he could show up.
Oh, okay.
Ah, yeah, there
and
you go.
Speaking
prequel.
Of, you know, Better Call Saul. It's about to intercept.
Yeah, okay. Better Call Saul. Did you watch last week?
Who are we?
Yes, I did. It's awesome.
I texted you that thing, and you said I haven't watched it yet.
But now I know.
Who are okay. we supposed to? Oh, Rockdale Tiger. Rockdale Tiger.
Yeah,
now,
sorry.
Next man. Week, Lisa Krauss Gardner, the renowned expert of Preacher, will be in studio with us to talk all about this most recent season of Preacher.
Okay, so, and I'm up to episode 7.
So I'm up to episode. I'm almost done.
Okay, so I've
the I'm, Hitler episode was great.
I'm right after we found out the one vampire is a piece of shit.
Yeah, yes.
That was
yes.
such a good episode.
So yeah, stay tuned for that. We'll talk all about it next week. Until then, please remember to
keep it canon.